I have in my pocket $7,000, but it's Monopoly money. But if it were real, what could I buy with $7,000? 2010 Subaru Outback with 177,000 miles. It's halfway worn out. $7,000. At $4.09 a gallon for my 2010 Subaru Outback, I could buy about 1,711 gallons of gas, which would last maybe 3 years. I could get in my 2010 Subaru Outback that I have just filled the tank. I can go to Publix, and for $2.39, I can buy 2,928 Apple Flips. And those are amazing. At $15 a bag, gourmet coffee, I could buy 466 bags to wash down my 2,928 Apple Flips. For $1,150, I could buy 6 new iPhones. I could use one of them for an alarm to tell me when to get up and have my coffee and Apple Flips. So if I were to work for minimum wage, $7.25 an hour, common labor wage in the United States, if I worked 8 hours a day, I would make $58 a day. It would take me 120 days to make $7,000. So how does that $7,000 transfer 2,000 years back to New Testament times? After looking through various histories, commentaries, and dictionaries over the years and reading different opinions of numismatists, and does anyone know what a numismatist is? It's a coin expert, somebody who knows everything about coins. This would be the money table, approximately, in New Testament times. You start out with the Jewish shekel. And let's look over in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And we get an idea of the value of a Jewish shekel, the time of Moses. Chapter 30, verse 11. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel." That's a great way for taxes. Doesn't matter how much you make, doesn't matter who you are, just pay the same amount. "When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves." So log that thought. Half a shekel was the temple tax. One Jewish shekel was equal to 4 Greek drachma. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is a great, great story. Matthew 17, verse 4. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Does Jesus not pay this half shekel?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." So the temple tax was a half shekel. So if Jesus says, "Catch fish, get the coin out of his mouth, and go pay your taxes and my taxes," then the coin that came out of the mouth of the fish was one shekel. One shekel. Which was equal to 4 Greek drachma. And that Greek coin was called a tetradrachma. Worth 4. And it was about the size of our American half dollar. It's a nice sized fish. It had a coin that big in its mouth. The coins were minted in Antioch or Tyre. They were accepted at the temple. Just happened to be the coin that they took in the most. Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. One Jewish shekel equals 4 Greek drachma equals 4 Roman denarii. Matthew 20, verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." And then we know the rest of the story. Even the ones that came at the very end of the day were still paid one denarius, which was a day's wages. Exodus chapter 21, flip back there, verse 32. Exodus 21, verse 32. "And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it," I'm sorry, that's 33. 32, "if the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned." So, basically, a slave was worth 30 shekels of silver. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. From my Tyndale Bible Dictionary, the tetradrachman is found only in Matthew 17:27, where it is the coin which would pay the temple tax for Jesus and Peter. As it was a more common coin than the didrachma, it would appear that Jews frequently united to pay the temple tax in pairs by means of the tetradrachma. It was minted at Antioch, Caesarea, and Cappadocia, and in Tyre. Pompey fixed the rate of exchange of tetradrachmans from Antioch and Tyre at 4 denarii. So, one tetradrachma was equal to 4 days' wages. And Josephus refers to the same rate for the Tyrian tetradrachman in his day. Antiochian tetradrachmans were, however, tariffed by the imperial government at 3 denarii only. Most numismatists agree that this was the coin in which Judas received his 30 pieces of silver. So, 30 tetradrachma equals 120 Greek drachma equals 120 Roman denarii equals 120 days labor at current minimum wage in the United States equals $7,000, the price that Judas sold the Lord for. 7 grand. Who was Judas Iscariot? Let's turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is the sons of thunder. That's a cool name, the sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. The word Iscariot means a man of Kirioth. And Kirioth was a town in southern Judea, south of Jerusalem, close to Hebron. Acts chapter 1, verse 17. Judas was a man of Kirioth. Acts chapter 1, verse 17. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Judas was one of the 12, but he also had a part in the ministry. Judas Iscariot had a part in the ministry. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 64. Who is Judas? Jesus here speaking, but there are some of you who do not believe. Judas was not a believer. He was not. He was one of the 12. He took part in the ministry, but he was not a believer. You can't argue that. Jesus said, he wasn't a believer. Chapter 7, or verse 70 in chapter 6. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" And the Greek word for devil here is diabolos. We get our word diabolical from it, and it specifically means Satan. Can mean false accuser, a slanderer, or a devil. Judas was not a believer. He was a devil. He was a devil. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii?" Which translates to $17,400 in today's minimum wage equation in the United States. There's a lot of money to spend. But it was worth every cent. It was worth every cent. This is what Judas thought about it. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Judas didn't care for the poor, but because he was a thief. and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Judas Iscariot was a thief. He was a thief. But Jesus said, "Let her alone, Judas. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Judas was a thief, but he was also the treasurer. Of the 12, he's the one that had the money box. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Verse 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Judas was a thief, but he was also a betrayer. Judas, a betrayer. "Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.'" Verse 47. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest." And of course, we know this is Peter, "and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Judas was a betrayer. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. In both times there, Judas addressed Jesus as Rabbi. John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot," the devil put it into his heart, "Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash your feet, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you were clean, but not all of you. Judas was not clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. Now, who called Jesus teacher, rabbi? Judas. Who called Jesus Lord? Peter. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, being John. Simon Peter therefore motivated to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him, for some thought because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. John chapter 18, verse 1. John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place. So Judas' plan, he went to the chief priest, the elders, and he knew where Jesus would be at a particular time. He said, I'll lead you to him. He got paid. Judas knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So the rest, they wanted to arrest him without causing a public scene. And Judas knew how to pull that off. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to him, whom are you seeking? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Verse 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. So why did Judas betray Christ? Why did Judas betray Christ? Maybe he wanted the money. Maybe he saw this as an opportunity that I can make a little cash. $7,000 or 120 days wages. It was 120 days wages back then and now. It wouldn't have been $7,000 back then, but it would have been the equivalent to 120 days wages. Maybe Judas wanted the money. Maybe he wanted the money. Maybe he wanted to be treasurer of another kingdom. Maybe he felt like, I've been hanging around with Jesus for 3 years and everybody's thinking he's the Messiah. He's the one that's going to come and set up this kingdom, and I just haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. So maybe Judas wanted to be treasurer of a greater kingdom. Maybe he was upset because the kingdom wasn't what he expected. Maybe he was power hungry. He wanted to be part of a powerful organization. Maybe he was tired of that. Maybe he wanted a better position among the powers that be. Hey, I'll help you arrest Jesus if you can give me a better job. Maybe he was angry because Jesus rebuked him publicly at the supper in Bethany. What did Jesus tell Judas? Leave her alone. She's doing a great thing. Maybe Judas was angry because Christ rebuked him in public. We really don't know why Judas betrayed Christ, but he did. A great book, if you don't have a copy, you need to get one, The Suffering Savior by Krumacher. Great little book. This is taken from his chapter on Judas Iscariot. The Suffering Savior by Krumacher. Oh, Judas, Judas, happy would it have been wert thou the only one of thy kind. Ooh. But the name of thy brethren, even in the present day, is legion. Even today, Judas is not alone. Even today, he's not alone. From the camp of the world comes the infernal war cry, away with Jesus and the doctrine of his cross. How many times do we hear that? Every single day. Phenomena such as those which meet us in the present day were never before seen in the world in such anti-Christian atrocity and massiveness. The traitor Judas is again visible on the stage. Now you have to understand, Krumacher wrote this about 150 years ago. How much worse is it now than it was 150 years ago? The traitor Judas is again visible on the stage, full of deadly hatred to God and 1,000 colossal antitypes. And if there is one doctrine of the Holy Scriptures which finds in the present day its tangible confirmation, it is that of the existence of a ruler of darkness and of a kingdom of infernal powers. The prophetic expression in the Revelation is fulfilled. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The Pentecost of hell is being accomplished, and it pours out its spirit over mankind like a shower of fire and brimstone, and its shield bearers and apostles shoot up from the earth like the fungus in a night. Let everyone beware of being baptized with such a baptism. He that does not decide for the Lord today may tomorrow be found opposed to him and carrying the banner of Satan. And how many people say, I'm a Christian, and they're part of legion? Neutrality is a forlorn position. He that enters but halfway into the prevailing tendency of the present day finishes his course before he is aware that he is in the snare of the devil. Let us therefore hasten to the Lord Jesus and devote ourselves with body and soul unto him as an entire offering, which is but our reasonable service. Recourse to his wounds is still open today, but may perhaps not be so tomorrow. Rise up, therefore, and secure your souls, and pray that you may be preserved from the snares of Satan and from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the inhabitants of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There's two definitions from the Oxford Dictionary for the There's several, but the first two for the word betray. Number one, to give up treacherously a person or thing to an enemy to punishment. And that's what Judas did to Christ. He gave him up treacherously to the enemy to be punished. And his punishment was death on the cross. Second definition is to be or prove false to be disloyal to disappoint the expectations of. First definition was Judas. Second definition is kind of us. To be or prove false to be disloyal to disappoint the expectations of. What about the sins of our eyes when we look at something that we shouldn't have any business looking at? Who are we really betraying? What about the sins of our heart, those things we harbor? Who are we really betraying? What about the sins of our mind, those things we think? And I can get mad and really think of some stuff. What about our words, the things we say? How many times do we betray Christ because we say nothing? What about our actions? How many times do we sit down when we need to be standing up for the Lord? To be or prove false to be disloyal to disappoint the expectations of. When we go back to the Passover, Peter called Jesus Lord. Judas never acknowledged Christ as Lord. He would only go as far as saying, Rabbi, teacher. Judas betrayed Christ. Peter denied Christ. But the difference between Peter and Judas was Peter was repentant, and he clung to Christ. Judas was sorry for what he did. He went back to the chief priest and the elders, and he threw the 30 pieces of silver on the floor of the temple, and they clang and danced around. Judas said, I've sinned. I betrayed innocent blood. Judas should have been going to the Lord and saying, I'm a wretch. I'm a devil. But he didn't. What did Judas end up doing? He went out. He hanged himself. We read in Acts that he fell. His body burst open and all his insides were scattered everywhere. He hung himself. We don't know how long he was up there, but long enough that maybe the rope broke. Maybe the rope came loose. He fell and hit the ground. Judas really didn't care about Christ. Judas cared about himself. Peter cared about Christ. Judas's life ended in suicide. Peter's life ended in martyrdom for his Savior. So, yes, in one sense of the word, we do betray Christ by what we say, what we think, and what we do, but we shouldn't. We should honor and serve Him in all that we say and think and do. And Peter, of course, was wrong when he denied the Lord, but he was so repentant. He was so sorry for what he did, and he clung to Christ. And when we, in a few weeks, have our resurrection day and the events leading up to it, we need to think about Judas, who he really was and what he did. We also need to think about Peter, who he was and what he did. He called Jesus Lord, and we need to do the same. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for our suffering Savior, Christ. Help each of us to take your word and pore over it, to cry out to you in our wretched condition, and beg you to help us to understand who we are and who Christ is. And in doing so, we would so seek with every minute of our lives to honor and serve Him as we should. We ask that you would bless our time as we gather to pray. And we do ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.